One of the amazing eternal rewards that Jesus promises is that faithful ones will reign and rule with Him. However, some people look at that potential reward and say, that doesn't sound like much fun. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad that you've tuned in because we're currently in the middle of a series on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards. I was honored that Bob and Sean asked me to come and sit in at their studio and discuss this book with them. Let's tune in to our conversation at the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkins.
And we're in the middle of this series on eternal rewards based on the book by the same name, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, written by Lucas Kitchen, who's here in the studio. Lucas, one thing we haven't mentioned about this book, and I just love this book. It's available at our website. You have made this book actually interactive. This isn't just a book. This is a package of learning materials that people can use at their church or in a small group.
That's a great way to put it. Each chapter has what's called a QR code or a little web address in it, and there are videos that go along with each chapter. We also have what we call a workbook that you can go through and fill out. There are a lot of church groups that are going through it as a small group, a material, and things like that. So it's been really neat.
And on the back of the book, you have the website where people can go to get the online components of the book. It's simplybelief.com/rewards. And I'm sure if they go to simplybelief.com, they can get the workbook and
all of it's right there.
Well, that's great. Well, we're coming to a subject now that, Bob, you and I have, we've met a lot of people who've asked this question. We tell them that based on, let's say, a passage like Luke chapter 19, 11 to 27, the parable of the minas, that God wants believers, he's looking for believers who are going to reign with him, who are going to rule with him. Right, it's kind of like restoring that original purpose that God had back in Genesis 1:26 when he created man and woman. What did he call them to do?
Have dominion.
Have dominion to rule over the fish. That's the original plan, and Jesus is restoring that. But now, isn't this right, Lucas? I'm sure this is your experience too. We meet people who say, I don't want to rule. Ruling is no fun. I don't want that responsibility.
In fact, this chapter, which we're talking about in the book, I open it by giving an example of that. Exactly. I was speaking at a church in Louisiana, and after the talk, it was a talk about eternal rewards. After the talk, a lady sent me this email. I've got it here. I'll read it so you kind of get a sense of what's going on. She said, I really enjoyed your message about the parable of the minas, but I didn't get to ask the question that was on my mind. What if one doesn't want the responsibility of ruling over cities? And then in parentheses, she said, responsibilities make me anxious. And I think that's a really good point. I mean, we don't, for the most part, probably aspire to rule. All of us could run for public office if we wanted, but the vast majority of people choose not to, not just because it's difficult, but also because it is hard in a broken world to rule and to reign and to manage and to direct. I think it's a legitimate question. I think it's one that we do need to wrestle with, is if this eternal reward of reigning with Christ is supposed to be such a great reward, what if you don't want it?
Right. It's not going to motivate you if it's not something that you want.
Right, but you made a good point, Lucas. You said, in this broken world, Jesus isn't offering rulership in this broken world. He's offering rulership in a perfect kingdom, his kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. A verse that mentions it is 2 Timothy 2:12, and we kind of get a sense of that. He says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Well, where does Jesus reign? Well, when Paul is talking about this, he's talking about primarily the coming kingdom, the kingdom which will be here on the earth, and it will be a physical kingdom. He will have a government, and if you want to play a part in it, then this idea of reigning is going to be central to that.
Think about all of the saints who get placed in positions of very high authority. Think about Joseph. Joseph went from slavery to what?
Well, first of all, he's head of Potiphar's house. Then he's the head of the prison. Then he's second in command to Pharaoh.
Right. So he's ruling. Wherever he is, he's ruling over the house, the household. Mm. He's ruling over the prison. He's ruling over all of Egypt, right? Right. What about Moses? Moses was, you know, born in a basket in the reeds. But where does he end up? He ends up in Pharaoh's own household, a prince of Egypt, right? Now, he falls from that position after murdering an Egyptian. But what position does he take up?
Yeah, he becomes the deliverer of Israel and the leader of Israel.
Right, so he's ruling. You know, think of King David. Think of Esther. Think of Solomon. Think of Daniel, second or third in Babylon.
Right.
So you have all these figures who are heroes of the faith, men and women, who are presented to us as people to emulate. And they are in positions of rulership. I just see that in Scripture. For people who don't have that mindset, isn't it the case that they just need to change their mindset?
Yeah, and also I guess we need to ask ourselves, if there's something that is uncomfortable for us to do, does that mean we shouldn't do it?
Right. If Jesus says you need to evangelize, can we say, well, I don't really like doing that, Jesus.
I'm going to pick something else.
Not going to do that. Give me something else to do.
Yeah.
I'll have the quiet role. No, we don't get to pick and choose our commands.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And of course, in the life to come, we're going to have perfect bodies, perfect minds. We're not going to sin anymore. And rulership will be natural to us then.
Yeah. One interesting thing, though, in that passage from 2 Timothy, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. But there's a second half to that verse, and it says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And sometimes I've met people who believe that that shows that you can lose your salvation. But that's not what that's about at all, is it?
No, I mean, you got to look at what he's offering, and whatever he's offering would be the thing that he would be denying. And
Amen.
If he's offering reigning, then it would just make sense. I mean, the most natural reading is to say, well, then he's saying some won't get it. Some will be denied of that. You
right.
know? You know, another way to shift the thinking is to understand what a higher level of reigning would mean for your relationship with Christ. And so think about the name that Jesus is given in Scripture. He's called the King of Kings. Well, who are those kings that he is the king of?
That's right, yeah.
Those kings are most likely very close to him. They may have daily meetings with him. I don't know, but they're going to be in some kind of very close communion with him as they do the duties that are given to them. And so what makes sense to me is to say, if ruling is not what you're really excited about, aren't you excited about being even closer to Christ than those who aren't ruling? In the same way that our president has about 4,000 people in his immediate staff administration, there are some that are closer to him that see him on a daily basis, and there's some that do duties for his administration, but they're not as close.
So you're saying there's levels of intimacy, just as there are levels of intimacy with Jesus in this life. If you're a believer who is pursuing Christ, who's putting Christ first, who's walking in the light, then you're going to enjoy a level of intimacy with Christ that a backslidden person is not going to have.
In 2 Timothy 2:12, a lot of commentators point out that the second half, if we deny him, he will also deny us, is an explanation of Matthew 10:33. In Matthew 10:32 and 33, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. This is in light of 2 Timothy 2:12, confessing him as a future ruler. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. As Lucas has said, that's a denial of rulership. And so it seems to me that this is closeness to Christ. In fact, remember the thief on the cross? Who at the cross is confessing Jesus except the centurion and the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And when he says, today you will be with me in paradise, he doesn't talk about the coming kingdom. He talks about today. And he talks about with me, which is intimacy, right? Closeness. Yeah. He's promising him a reward. A lot of people say, well, the thief on the cross didn't do anything good. That's wrong. He did something good. He confessed Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. Confessed him publicly,
that's
right?
That's great.
I'm curious now. So Jesus is coming back in the literal kingdom. It's not a fantasy thing. It's not a ethereal thing. It's going to be on earth. It's going to be literal. What kind of rulership, what kind of positions are we talking about here? There's different levels, I imagine, of rulership in the kingdom. So what are we talking about?
I do have to admit, we have a little bit of a speculation, but we have some leads on what we think might be some of those roles. And in the book, I've got a quick list, and each of these terms has some scriptural backing. We're not told specifically. I'll read for you what I have in the book. Jesus's role will be King of Kings. What that seems to mean is that underneath Jesus, there would be subordinate kings. And we saw something kind of like that in the parable of the minas, where there was one who would have 10 cities, 11 at the end of the story, actually. And then there was one who had 5 cities, and they were to rule over them.
All right. So Jesus, for example, he's going to be ruling from Jerusalem.
Right.
So let's say there's a hypothetical future Dallas, Texas. Jesus isn't going to be ruling in Dallas, Texas, but maybe...
Maybe Sean Lazar is.
Maybe Sean Lazar will be.
Do you want
Montreal.
Dallas?
Or Montreal.
Yeah, would you rather Montreal?
Can I get Honolulu, please?
I want Honolulu.
Oh, no, it'll all be great.
Okay, it'll all be great.
Dallas will be right. Like Honolulu. We have some evidence that there might be judges and counselors. Peter uses this phrase, royal priests. I will say some of these probably overlap each other. They may be terms for the same thing. We have officers and magistrates. And one that I really love is in Jeremiah 3:15 is shepherds. What I've noticed as these sort of conversations go is when people begin to hear these kind of words that you'll be shepherding other people, you'll be serving, then it begins to soften that idea of reigning. You are not a dictator, you are a shepherd. And in fact, I think maybe this would be a good verse to close on. Luke 22:25 and 26, Jesus is talking about leadership for those who are believers. He says, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is great among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves." And I think that's a beautiful image for what leadership and reigning in the kingdom will be like. It's a service position.
Are you intimidated by the idea of ruling with Christ? Why don't you rethink that idea? Are you intimidated by the idea of loving and serving your neighbor? If that's what you want to do, then you want to live a life where you're going to be rewarded by ruling, because that is how you're going to get to love your neighbors for all eternity.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that wonderful discussion. I know I enjoyed it, and I hope they did as well. Well, now you might want to go deeper on this subject of eternal rewards. In fact, I hope that you do. One way to do that is to pick up a copy of my book, Eternal Rewards. You can get it at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Once you're there on the site, you can click on the button that says Store and get not only my book, but many other books from many other great authors. I highly encourage you to take advantage of the book selection that we have there. In addition to this, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature. Let me give you some examples. You can get a free subscription to our print magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It'll arrive right in your mailbox, and it's amazing. You can also get subscribed to a free version of this radio show called our podcast. You can subscribe to our daily blog post and much, much more. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Now, while you're on the website, I'd like to suggest that you consider becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. Every gift that you give is tax deductible, and it's very much appreciated. It goes toward allowing us to continue doing the work that we're doing. Find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Now, I'd like to give you our email address because we love to hear from listeners like you. You can reach out to us through email. Here it is, radio@faithalone.org. That's it, radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to discuss what it means to be an overcomer. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.